Our reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. For you do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord. Did you ever wake up from a dream, and in that dream you were running and running and you weren't getting anywhere, and you wake up exhausted and even sweaty? This is the kind of feeling we get from St. Paul today, talking about the Christian life and his work in the church. What's the use of running when only one wins the prize? Where we're often competing only to receive a perishable wreath, and where we're boxing and fighting as one beating the air. Now, I know KFUO records these chapel services to be sent out on the radio waves, and I greet all those who will eventually be listening in, but my words today are directed to you here who work in the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As you know, there are four floors to this building, but it's more than a building, isn't it? It's an organization that works in support of and behalf of our Lutheran congregations to assist them in carrying out their ministries as they seek to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Together in this building, we function in support of the Synod's member congregations by providing assistance to our congregations just as they have asked us to do and continue to do every 3 years. We administer those ministries that can be accomplished more effectively in association with other member congregations through the Synod. So, look at the first floor of this building, Concordia Plan Services, where you work to provide for the welfare of our church workers in critical and important times in their life. Walk up to the second floor, the Communications Department. Look at what you produce in that floor. Videos from Preach the Word to PALs to conventions to world missions and so much more. You create and manage the Synod's website and Facebook, communicating what we do to the world. You produce the Lutheran Witness and Engage and the Reporter for the Church. Let's go up to the third floor. There's the Office of International Mission. Our pastors and members want missionaries all over the world to proclaim the gospel. And you, International Missions, oversee 98 career missionaries in over 34 countries. You also oversee over 127 military chaplains in our armed forces, where 10 of them were deployed in combat zones in 2018. Same third floor, where you have KFUO radio and Lutheran programming, witnessing Christ over the airwaves. Go down the hallway to Mission Advancement, who communicates with those who want to support our missionaries. And Global Seminary Initiative, our seminaries themselves, disaster relief, and more. Go over to my corner of that floor, and you have Concordia University System caring for our 8 universities. And then pastoral education, coordinating with our universities and our seminaries and district presidents, pastors, and congregations, and forming pastors who care for the faith and life of God's people. Now walk up to the 4th floor. Take a right and walk into national missions, working with our Lutheran schools, evangelism, mercy care, revitalization, urban ministry, rural ministry, RSOs, and more. Go to the end of the hallway, and there you'll meet the folks in CTCR producing some of the finest theological documents in the world. Go down another hallway, and you see the Walther Room, where at least 4 times a year, though they go in other areas, sometimes our district presidents come to meet about ecclesiastical supervision in our church body, where they place new pastors into our congregations, and where they work with each other in carrying out the convention resolutions of our church body. Enter the hallway of the president of Synod, who leads our 2 million member Synod. The vice president, who largely oversees pastors colloquizing into our synod. The secretary of synod, who manages the way, our handbook, and the way that we do things together. The treasurer, who stewards our multi-million dollar budget. And our chief mission officer, who oversees much of what takes place in this building. That's a lot of work. Let me ask you, in all that you do you ever get tired? Do you often feel like you're just running that race, yet never getting where you want to go, like waking up sweaty and exhausted? Do you ever feel like you're just boxing in the air sometimes? Do you ever feel like you're tired of the swipes from the right and the criticisms from the left? Do you get exhausted from all the disruptors and the game playing that we tend to do? Do you ever feel like all your work is just in vain, affecting very few? Where's the prize? Where's the wreath? Where's the finish line? Look at St. Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, the whole letter, writing to them about the divisions within the church between each other, jealousies and strife for those who are still in the flesh, sins of sexual immorality that defiles the church, and some of them are bragging about it, lawsuits and complaints against each other as Christians, their Christianity for show and their Christianity of laws, their idolatry, their slander, their gossip, often against each other. And here, embedded in this Corinthian letter, St. Paul reminds those Christians of who they are. And he takes them to Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that Israel of old was in the same boat, enslaved, up against the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, hungry and thirsty, tired, yet under the cloud of Christ. They passed through the sea, baptized into Moses, eating spiritual food and drinking spiritual drink from the rock, Jesus Christ. You and I are the new Israel, servants of our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy Christian church, and we know the ending. You do what you do because you passed under the cloud and passed through the sea of your holy baptism. You came right through it when you entered this room once again. Your baptism. You are baptized into eternal life in Christ Jesus, the true and living God. You are a child of God, and all of your sins are washed away. He saved you through the sea of death and hell. And together we sing with Moses, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The earthly church, this place, 35 districts, are over 6,000 congregations, often have the scent of burning sulfur as Satan continually slithers through our hallways, hissing at every gospel work we do, tempting every disciple of Christ to deny him and fall. But we'll have none of that. We hear God's word, which strengthens and nourishes our saving faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in this Jesus Christ who forgives our sin and gives us eternal life. We eat the spiritual food, his body, and we drink the spiritual drink, his blood, and it does forgive our sins. It does cast away the evil one. It does nourish our saving faith in our Redeemer. And it does plant eternal life into our flesh and souls. This is the one who won the race for us in our behalf and rose victorious for you. Not beating in the air does he do, but he beats down the evil one, who will now raise us from the dead imperishable and give us that crown of eternal life. So look at your lot in life. Count your battle scars. Limp home each night after work. Yet look around you. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You are running a race. You are fighting the good fight. And it may cause you to grow weary and tired and sweaty, but it's not in vain. There is a goal of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, and all of you play a part of that. Of course, we discipline ourselves in our baptism, putting to death the old man in us every day and rising forth according to the new. Of course, the prize has already been won for us. Christ has taken away our sins and triumphed over our death and hell. This salvation is ours, and we share it. We pass it on to our children and grandchildren, to our family and friends, to our neighbors here and across the sea, for the eternal salvation of all. Of course, we too are pierced with the crown of thorns from time to time as we share in the sufferings of Christ, that we may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And he places on you the crown of eternal life. So, you tired and weary ones, take up your armor, the Holy Scriptures, which is your life's work. Bunker yourself in his manger and in his open tomb. Be filled with the surging of his body and blood in your veins and in your life and in your soul. No matter what floor of this building, no matter what congregation of this synod, no matter what dwelling place of God's people, your Christian faith is not in vain. And your life's work is not boxing in the air. Take courage, weary soul. Your God, your life, and your salvation is this, Jesus Christ. Amen.